Text is found in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. We begin at verse 1, reading God's holy and infallible word. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, my father, and he said, here I am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the living God. Let us pray. Our Father, as we come to this most wonderful and precious passage in your word, once again we would seek the living God and ask that you might open our minds and hearts to your truth, that by your Spirit it may not only be understood, but that we may receive it with faith and that we may trust in you. Grant, O Lord, your Spirit to open our hearts and minds that we may understand and believe, that we may obey and glorify your name. These things we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very difficult to know how to introduce this passage of Scripture. And yet a few moments ago when we sang the hymn, The Solid Rock, I think that it encapsulates in some of what the poet has to say the truth of what this passage is all about. Particularly the refrain of the hymn, which begins, my hope is built on nothing less then Jesus' blood and righteousness, it says in the refrain, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I really do think that that truth in that hymn relates particularly to this trial of faith, because that's what this passage is all about in Genesis 22. It's the trial of Abraham's faith. We're told that by the divine author through Moses, the human author. After these things, it says, God tested Abraham. It reminds us that God brings trials to our faith. The Apostle James tells us that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. Abraham went through a great trial of faith. This is indeed a great trial. And the writer wants us to know that it took place in a certain period of time. And so he says, after these things, and we should say, well, after what things? Well, after what preceded in the earlier chapters, he had already sent away Ishmael, his firstborn son, born to him through Hagar. He had already gone through the trials and the difficulties that he had endured with Abimelech, and now Sarah was even older, and the passage we think is probably dated to the time when Isaac, Abraham's son, is most often thought that he is at least a teenager, if not a little bit older in this passage. He's old enough, as we'll see, to carry things and to work with his father Abraham on carrying out this in obedience to God's word. But the passage is this: it is the trial of Abraham's faith. God is going to try, to test, to prove Abraham's faith by a great trial. Remember, Abraham enjoyed great communion and fellowship with God. God had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, from his father's house. He separated him out and he made him great, the scripture tells us. Abraham is given blessing upon blessing. And in addition to that, God calls to Abraham and says, I am going to make my covenant with you and with your son Isaac. You see, in the passage as it begins, after these things, it's after God made it explicitly clear in the previous chapters that it was Isaac that was the chosen son, that the promise that God had, that he had given many, many years before, was to come through the covenant line and through Isaac. You see, the writer is setting us up for the greatness of the trial that's going to occur. We are to be reminded of all of the blessings that God has given to Abraham, all of the promises that are given to Abraham, the promise that culminates in the promise of the covenant line through which the Savior would come, and it would come through Isaac. And now God puts that faith that Abraham has to the test, and he goes through a storm of temptation, and the trial is this: sacrifice as a burnt offering your only son. And when it says burnt offering, the message is crystal clear. Not only is Isaac to be laid on that altar and to die, but he is to be burnt until there was nothing left. God calls him to that. We'll look at what this means in a moment and the questions that it raises, but it is a most difficult, most remarkable test on the part of God. And notice that God says, take Isaac, take your son, your only son, in other words, the one and only one that you have left. Ishmael had been sent away. The one you love, it centers on Isaac, his love now, for years since they had dismissed Ishmael and sent him away. Abraham and Isaac, father and son, enjoyed the fellowship and the love that they had for one another. In his old age, this son was his comfort. In his old age, he could reflect upon the promise of God so many years ago, and he could look at his son and say, God is good and he's faithful to his promise. What a comfort it must have been to the old man's heart to be able to see his son as a young child playing and growing up as a little monster in the home. Then later on, as a teenager, as these teenage years come, he could see and he could watch that growth, and he could begin to wonder about how God was going to fulfill that promise that through your son, Isaac, the son of your old age, the promise would come. And now God says, that son you must sacrifice. Who can imagine the convulsions of his heart that went through his heart that were occasioned by this command. The sacrifice of his son, would that execute all of his hope? The hope for the future of his people and for the future of redemption of all mankind? What God was asking Abraham to do was to give up and to sacrifice what was dearest to his heart. That was the temptation or the trial. The word's interchangeable in the Old Testament. Let's use the word trial. It's really a trial. God does not tempt us to sin, but when we find the word, whether Old or New Testament, they're interchangeable. When God uses the word and it's God that's doing the work, it's a trial. When Satan uses the word or it's referring to his work, it's referring to a temptation. It's a trial of his faith. God is going to put that trial into the life of Abraham so that he can demonstrate once and for all whether or not Abraham really loves God above all things. Would he give up what's dearest to his own heart? You can imagine, perhaps, what might have gone through his mind, and you can also imagine what others might have thought had they known about it. But we have some idea from the way the scripture is written that Abraham didn't divulge this. He simply did this in obedience to God. He did it immediately. He did what God had told him. But had they had the opportunity, what would have been said? Well, perhaps that old question that arose in the Garden of Eden might have been used. Hath God said, or did God really say this to you? Are you imagining this, Abraham? Is that what God really means? God really doesn't want your son to die. Perhaps even in his own mind, he wrestled with, why would a good and loving God want me to kill my son, the son of the promise? Would a loving God command the one who fears him and who loves him and who serves him to kill? Would he command him to kill his only son? While some of these may have gone through his mind, the Bible does not tell us, but it does tell us that he resolutely, in obedience to God's word, went forward with obedience to the command of God. An unbelievable trial of faith. But in this trial of faith, what this passage and what we will see as we look further at a passage from the 11th chapter of Hebrews in a moment will tell us is that Abraham's faith remained steady. You see, this passage is ultimately about faith in God. Now, many people have used this passage and seem to find in this passage that it talks about Christ in a way comparing Isaac to Christ. Isaac placed on the altar, Isaac the only begotten son. Jesus is the only begotten son of the Father. But that kind of interpretation does not fit the passage itself. This is a passage in which Abraham's faith is put on trial. And what we find is that Abraham passes that trial with flying colors. His faith remained in the unchanging God, a faith that was rooted in one thing alone. I will do what God says. That's why he went and did exactly what God told him to do in this passage, and the writer of Hebrews will confirm that for us. He readily obeyed in faith, a faith that was in God, whom he knew as the sovereign, as the one who blessed him, who had promised him prosperity through Isaac, who had commanded him now to sacrifice his son. And those two seemingly conflicting things, he perhaps could not, in his own mind, come to a resolution, although I think he did. The writer of Hebrews will tell us why. The only way to resolve those two conflicts that he had, the promise that Isaac would be the son of promise through Isaac and no one else. God was specific on that. God was clear on that. God was absolutely, absolutely crystal clear. So crystal clear that he told Abraham, send Ishmael out so that there would be no confusion when it came time to say, Isaac is the son of promise. Now this passage comes along and God says, sacrifice him. How do you reconcile the two? The only way to reconcile the two is that the commands of God are to be obeyed no matter what. And that's exactly what Abraham does in this passage. He didn't trust in his own mind. How am I going to resolve these seemingly contradictory conflicts? He resolves in his mind to obey the faithful, unchanging God. That's the point that we need to have made clear for our faith. In difficult circumstances, it's our duty to obey God. The wisdom of faith fixes itself upon the unchanging God as the source of our strength, not in our ability to figure out the circumstances. And that's exactly what it tells us in the Bible. Abraham trusted God. In doing so, what Abraham is doing is annihilating his own will. Not my will, but thine be done. God had already demonstrated to Abraham that he could be trusted. He had seen it over and over. God had delivered him from the kings of the plains. God had given him victory over those kings, and he delivered Lot, his nephew. God had delivered him from the troubles he got himself into with Abimelech. God had given him a child in his own age. And God had shown himself over and over and over and over again to Abraham that he could be trusted. And now he's putting that faith, that trust, to the test. And so Abraham's answer to this whole question is, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. It silenced all murmuring. It silenced all reasoning. It gave him the ability to prepare his heart and to worship God, because he had his faith was rooted in a sovereign God. He left the problem unresolved, and the unresolved problem and its difficulties, he left them to God, trusting that God would be able to do what is right. He put it in the hands of God. He knew that God had said, in Isaac your seed will be called. He trusted that God would be able to do that. That God would be able to give through that promise the Messiah who would come, who would be the one that would bless the nations of the world, to fulfill what had been spoken to Abraham in Genesis 12 verse 1. And what Abraham does here is he exemplifies for us the truth of the word of God, which we find everywhere. It's better to obey the Lord than to disobey and to let go of the promise. Abraham did not let go of the promise of God. He rested by faith in God. And the scriptures tell us that by faith he was able not only to rest in the power of God, but to secure from God the truth of his promise. And as he rested in that promise, he knew that God would accomplish his purposes in his life. Because of that faith, it says that he immediately obeyed, and he began the process of preparing for this act that God had commanded him to do. Note verse 3. It says, Abraham rose early in the morning. There's a certain punctuality about his obedience. No delay. He didn't put it off. Oh, let me think about this for a couple of weeks, months. Are you really sure? No, there's punctual obedience. And notice what it goes on to say. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering. I got to thinking about that as I thought about this passage. How old is Abraham? He's got servants galore. 316 of them are armed. He's got more than that. He's got a teenage or perhaps a son in his early 20s who could have cut wood and split wood like who knows what, Paul Bunyan, and he could have had it done in less than half of the time. But Abraham, this 117, 120-year-old man, does the job. No servant will do it, and he calmly prepares for what is coming. all the while asking perhaps, how can God be true to his promise? In other words, how's God going to figure this out? He's got me doing this and he promised me that. These two, I can't bring them together. But how's he going to do it? Because he doesn't fail. He's God. And that's what his faith is all about. And you see his faith in verse 5. As he cuts the wood and he gets ready, and the third day he goes and he sees the place, and he says to the two young men that are with him, you two stay here with the donkey. And to me, this verse is one of the greatest verses in all of Scripture on the issue of faith. Did you see what he says? He took the wood of the offering, he laid it on Isaac his son. Wait a minute, I skipped it. Oh, the print is too small. There we go, verse 5. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. And what does he say here? I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you. Abraham is clear at this point in his obedience. His faith was such that he declared that he would not only go and worship, and to worship meant that he had to kill his son, offer him up as a burnt offering. His son was dead to him, but he received his son back, and he says, we will be back, and we're going to come back to you. To me, that is one of the greatest expressions of faith in all of Scripture. We will return. He absolutely intended to sacrifice his son as a total sacrifice, a surrender to the will of the Lord. But what he believed was that they would return. He would return with Isaac. He was so sure of the outcome because he rested by faith in the sovereign God. And you say, well, how do you know that? How do you come to that conclusion? It's not really exactly that clear here in this passage. We'll turn to Hebrews 11 with me, where we find the writer of Scripture telling us about the great faith of Abraham. And it's exactly this passage that the writer of Hebrews in 11th chapter, verse 17, is talking about. Hebrews 11, 17. Look as we look carefully at what is said here. By faith, Abraham, when he was, what's the word? Tested, offered up Isaac. The language of the writer of Hebrews is saying he offered him up. That is, he made him a total sacrifice. He surrendered to the will of God. It's what the writer of Romans, the Apostle Paul, says that you and I are supposed to do in chapter 12, verse 1. Do you know that verse? You should know it well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as what? As a living sacrifice. That means total surrender. That means we're dead to ourselves, total surrender. We've given ourselves to God. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. When he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises, we've reflected on what those were, your son, your only son, the son of the promise, and the promise would come only through him, not through Ishmael, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac. Here it is, the writer of Hebrews wants it to be clear. The one that's on the altar, the one that's about to die, the one that Abraham was ready to plunge the knife into and then burn him up as a burnt offering, that one is the one through whom the promise would come. What does he say now in verse 19 about Abraham? He considered God was able even to raise him from the dead. Abraham's faith was working up here. He had it all together. God promised that through Isaac, the blessing will come. The nations will be blessed through the line of Isaac. There will be a Savior that will come through the line of Isaac. God cannot back off from that promise. God has commanded me to give my son up and completely burnt offering, offer him to the Lord. There's only one way that you can reconcile these two things, and faith put it all together and said, if I go through with this, the only thing that I can count on is that God is going to have to raise him up from the dead, because I know the God that can do all things. There's nothing that's impossible for the Lord. And faith put it together in that moment, and he said, I offer him up. He considered that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. You see, the writer of Hebrews tells us that, figuratively speaking, that prefigures the resurrection. He received him back as though he had actually committed the act and offered him up as a burnt sacrifice. He believed in the power of God, that God could raise an Isaac even from the dead if he were to die. This means that he had already parted with Isaac as though he were already dead. He'd given him up completely in absolute surrender to God. He made Isaac God's own and devoted him completely to the Lord. That's what a burnt sacrifice is all about in Scripture. And Abraham reasons by faith that God's power is not limited. Not only could he raise him from the dead, but he can do all things. God's power, God is sufficient to secure his promise. Now, if God is sufficient to secure the promise for Abraham, our father in the faith, if he is the same God in all ages, unchanging, is he the God who is able to secure the promise for you and in your life? We may not know how God is going to fulfill his promises, but believers rest by faith in a God and trust in a God who fulfills his promise and will fulfill it even though we may not understand how he's going to do it. The people of God have always believed the word of God is true, that God provides all things necessary for them. He who did not spare his own son, the scripture says, but gave him up for us all, will he not give us all things with him? What you're going through, what trials you go through, your faith must rest in God. Not in the way out of the problem, not in the way to make the thing go away, or how we can come up with our own configuration that will give us respite or relief, but our faith must rest in God and in God alone. Thy will, not mine, be done. God is the one whom we must trust. And we find in this passage in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, our text, that Abraham had that kind of faith. Then let's look lastly at God's answer to that faith. He preserves Isaac's life. He gives a life for Isaac. He calls out, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Immediately he answers, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. Verse 12, for I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. He preserves Isaac's life because God had a way to find, or God had a way that he was going to keep his promise. He didn't tell Abraham about that ahead of time, did he? Abraham had to go all the way to that very last moment when God stepped in, when God intervened, and God said, Abraham! Abraham. And it was at that moment that God turned his attention to the sacrifice that he had already prepared caught in a thicket, the lamb or the ram that God had provided for the sacrifice. But God was confirming Abraham's faith. And he confirms his blessing to Abraham by a solemn oath in this passage, to give to Abraham the infallible security of a word from God to assure him that his faith had gone through the trial. He had completely trusted the Lord. He had given himself up wholly and completely to God and to the will of God. He looked at his son Isaac, and to him Isaac was dead in his own eyes because he was given completely away to the Lord. God meant everything to Abraham, and in return, God gave him everything and blessed him and his son. God provided a substitute, and God gave Abraham what Abraham could not provide for himself, a sacrifice like God would provide later for us and for all who believe, a sacrifice in the person of his son, who would die not merely a physical death, but a spiritual death that accomplished the redemption of his people. And for sinners who trust in Jesus Christ, the one who is the sacrifice that God provides, the one who dies in the place of sinners as a substitute, those who trust in him are saved. When God's hand was raised at Calvary's cross, there was no one who said, "Stay your hand, do not harm your son." But God offered him up freely. The hand that was poised above the Christ on the cross fell, and the judgment of God that was for you and for me and for your sins and for mine fell on him. And Jesus died, but he died that you might live. Through that death, God brought life to all who trust in Jesus. And we are called to trust in him and to give ourselves completely, like Abraham, unreservedly, by faith, as a burnt sacrifice, living sacrifices to God. It's the reasonableness of faith that leads us to that conclusion. If God died for us and gave us his son, should we not trust him in all things? God calls us to such faith. Let us pray.